So, Father, let this word be anointed of your Spirit to bring life and not death. Let it bring freedom and not bondage. Let it bring healing on every level, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? On Sunday morning, the Lord gave me one word, and that word was restoration. And that has quite an impact. Now, the Lord has had me go on restoration before, but what does it mean to restore? It's to take something that was perfect, that got broken, and then bring it back to restoration. Okay. So, many, many times, we look at circumstances in our lives and we don't comprehend quite what God is trying to make out of us. And in reality, He's trying to restore us. So, in John chapter 17, in the NIV, Jesus prays for Himself in verse 1. So I'd like you to come with me in John 17. And to really get a clue as to why Jesus would pray for Himself. And why you and I should be praying for ourselves. Sometimes we think, oh, it's somebody else's job, and I feel self-conscious, and blah, blah, blah. You know, the excuses. I'm not quite worthy. I don't see myself too good. Blah, blah, blah. And God is really saying to you tonight, wake up. You're valuable to Him. Yes, you are a spirit being. And you're having an experience in the earth. So, are you ready? After Jesus said this, He looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. What was He actually getting ready for? Crucifixion. And resurrection, yes. But the crucifixion would also bring glory. Sometimes we call it a glory cross. But it was extremely bloody, extremely painful beyond anything that they had ever experienced. And I say they because the Father and the Son are one. They were working together to give you and me life. So, sometimes you and I will be praying and God will be pressing you to ask the Father to glorify you to what you used to be. And that might sound strange, but if you check out Jeremiah chapter 1, you'll get a clue that God knew you before you were born to get you ready to be restored to what you will become. Verse 22. For you granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those you have given Him. Notice, He was given a group of people to work with. It was not somebody that He advertised on Channel 40 or 22 or the local newspaper. It was done by the Father. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and say, Father God, put me where you want me. Show me what I need to know. Educate me. Get through to me. Because after all, I'm your child. And I'm expecting to hear, to see, and to comprehend your plan for me. It wasn't just for Jesus. It was for me too. Hallelujah. Amen? So, verse 3, now this is eternal life. Whenever you start wondering what eternal life is, you can answer it through the Word. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So how are you going to bring glory to God? By completing the work He gave you and me to do. Now that's not difficult. It's not the plan that you have that counts. It's the plan that He has already prepared. And in case you forgot, He knows how to talk. He knows how to give visions. He knows how to give dreams. And He knows how to wake you up in the middle of the night and say, time to get up, dear. Time to listen to me, dear. And by the way, we're just as dear to Him as you girls. So don't get, you know. Just the dear part goes for both, okay? I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. Now, is that just for Jesus? Is it for you? Can you put that hat on and keep it on? Yes, by choice. What's going to happen when you start putting on the crown that He has given you? Are you going to go tippy from one side to the other? Are you going to lay it back down on the rug and say, I don't think I can handle this? My little granddaughter, who's 17 years old, Saturday night, before the pageant in Fort Fairfield, where I was, tells my son and I and my wife and their mother that before the pageant was actually ready to go into full gear, the people from the city brought in the crown for 2009. The crown that the young lady that would be crowned would wear. Now, it's a gorgeous tiara, and it is sparkly from every angle, and it was in a special container. And Sarah looked at it and said in her heart, boy, that would look nice on my head. Now, she confessed it, but I told her that was a word of faith. That would look nice on my head. And when they crowned her a few hours later as Miss Fort Fairfield, she was walking around like if she owned it. And the next day, just before we left to come back home with her stepfather and my wife and I, she had to go as a queen to the next town that was having another big, you know, celebration and a pageant. And she was going to go for the first time as the official queen of the city of Fort Fairfield. And you know what? She put her crown on before she left. And she wore it in the car. Now you say, well, maybe that was the first day. The bottom line was, she had taken a step of faith the day before the pageant, and decided it would look good on her. Close your eyes. Don't look around at anybody right now. I want you to visualize a beautiful golden crown. Just close your eyes. Look inside. Just visualize it. You've got a great ability to visualize. See a beautiful golden crown with all kinds of jewels on it. And then, take a step of faith and say, that would look good on me. Come on, speak it out. That would look good on me. Why? Because God says He would crown us with the glory that we had before. Now, is He going to take a natural crown? I don't think so. But what I'm getting at is I'm trying to get you to take a step of faith as to really believe that he has abilities to crown you with the crown of glory that he has prepared just for you. It's not just for the neighborhood. It's for... Yes, it's for me. Now, verse 6 is, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So there are some that you will receive from out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. And you also have that same ability. For I gave them words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them, and this one is a real clincher, verse 9. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. There are certain individuals that are going to be given by God to you, to minister to. Certain people that you will automatically have an in with. Can anybody relate? You know that you know that even when you connect with them, that there's a flow of love that literally, you can tangibly feel it. And they're expecting for you to give them a word. Okay? Why? Why? The Father's plan, yes. And he has given them to you to minister to them. Now, they could be at the local drugstore. They could be at the local grocery store. It could be at the Y, because there's a few of those that I have over there. And they'll look for me, and when they see me, they'll say, what's the word for today? And usually, there's like a word that bubbles out of me just for them. Okay? And I had one not too long ago. And this young man happens to be a chiropractor. And he says, hi, how are you? I says, oh, I've missed you. He says, yeah. He says, I missed you too. What's the word for today? And, you know, a word came out. And he looked at me and says, I needed that today. I needed that today. Is he a believer? I think he's a part-time believer right now. When it's convenient, he takes it, and when it's not, I don't think I can handle that today. But in reality, he's a part-time believer looking for what? What is he looking for? He's looking for the word that will bring him life in the midst of some difficulty. You will also be one that will give out a word that will bring someone to life out of some difficulty. Your brother-in-law, John, gave you a word, and it pondered in your heart, and it gave you a little impact. And it's just what we needed to hear tonight, because it's right on target. We are spirit beings, and we were spirit before we came into this realm. God put us together in our mother's womb. He did a marvelous job, and now we're giving out what he tells us to give. That's Christianity. Help one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay. Verse 10. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Did you hear that? Glory will come to you when you give out what God tells you to give out. And it'll bounce back on you as a blessing. Come on, you guys have had to taste that a little bit by now. How many of you have tasted that? Wave your hand a little bit. Look around. Why? Because you're Christians in action. Not Christians waiting for somebody else to give out a word. You are the chosen vessel. And I know I'm twisting you a little bit. But if I don't do my job, then God will say, oh, come on, kid. You stood up there. You didn't give him anything. You just put him back to sleep. My job is to wake you up, shake you up, and make you active. Okay. Verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name. Here's a clincher. What is the power of his name? What is the power of his name? The next part it says, the name you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. So the power of his name is to bring unity. It's to bring harmony, not division. It's not to bring an accusing voice. Christians are all over the place. They're all thinking they're perfect. And guess what? They're all under construction. Every single one of them. That includes you and me. I'm not perfect. I'm under construction. And so if I'm under construction, I need the pieces of Jesus that are in you so that it'll fulfill the place that I need to grow up to. Amen? Okay. Now, let's go back to verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. What is that word? The fullness of his joy within each and every single one of us. So your sad sack days as a believer are gone. Yeah. Put the smile back on your face. Okay? And remember, as a believer, you have the fullness of Christ available to you every single day. Every morning, his mercies are brand new. It's not a leftover from yesterday that I am. It's a brand new creation that he put together for me for this day. Amen? I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. Now, did you hear that? So if you expect the world to love you, you have got a problem. They're going to hate your guts. Why? Because you've got the words of life in you. If they hated the firstborn son, Romans 8 says the firstborn son and many others, then they're going to hate the nextborn sons and daughters. That's the bottom line. So some will automatically can't stand you, and you think, I think I should go on a guilt trip for a couple of weeks. After all, I should feel sorry for myself. After all, they didn't love me. Well, good grief, the lover of all the earth couldn't be stood up any more than he was on that day on that cross. I mean, they couldn't stand him. They stripped him and they crucified him. And they agreed. It's better for one to die for the whole nation, after all. And they thought they were so smart. And they were prophesying. And they didn't even know it. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world anymore. Now that means they were, but they're not anymore. Then I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. So if you think you should leave right now and escape, you better listen to this prayer. But that you protect them from the evil one. See, God is not looking for you to have an escape hatch to run away. He's looking for you to be the salt of the earth, to be the word of God in those that you are to minister to on an everyday basis. That includes those that are discouraged in your own home. How many of you discourage people in their home or close relatives? Give them words of life. How are you going to get them? Get in the Word in the morning. You know, sometimes you might consider taking your Bible and put it on your bedstand. Okay? And get 10 minutes of it, or 20 minutes of it, before you start your day. So you'll have something to give out. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Put your hands up. Why did you bother having breakfast? Because it's supposed to break your fast. Yeah. If you're fasting from the Word, you're going to be starved when it's time to give out somebody a word of life, a word of joy, a word of restoration. Got it? 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. So how do you get sanctified? By the truth. Your word is truth. So if you put your word in, what are you going to happen? You're going to be full of truth. That's the bottom line. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Now, how does that work? How do you sanctify yourself so that the others that are following you will be also sanctified? I'll give you a little clue. The phone rings. It's 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You have just come out of the snoozer. You've still got the friendly sheets next to you. And it's a person that's in trouble. How do you sanctify them if you haven't sanctified yourself? How do you give them words of life if you haven't taken time with the Lord? How do you give them hope if you haven't got any hope of your own? How do you give them joy if you're full of despair and depression? How do you give them the word of life if you're still snoozing and depressed and hopeless and sick? Sick of living, sick of pushing buttons, sick of life, hoping that God would just take you home today. How are you going to sanctify them? You've got to sanctify yourself first. You've got to start talking to yourself. You've got to start declaring what God says about you rather than your opinion and your emotions. Amen? Because your emotions could be down in a dump, but I guarantee you, if you start declaring who you are in Christ Jesus, well, I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. By the Holy Ghost, I am full of joy, love, compassion, and mercy. Oh, my God. You guys are sleeping on me. Close your Bibles. That's as far as we're going to go. I'm going to teach you how to sanctify yourself. Yes, by the truth. What is the truth for you? His opinion, not yours. His opinion of you. So look at your neighbor. Eyeball them right now. Say, I'm going to agree with you that you and I are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm full of joy today because God has filled me with His joy. And I'm going to sanctify you like you're going to sanctify me. And I'm getting happy right now. Not tomorrow. Right now. And I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm getting better every day. Depression is gone. It's under my feet. Where it belongs. And all the lies they talked about me, it's going to be their problem. It's not going to be my problem. Because I don't agree with them. They have an opinion. But Jesus has an opinion too. His opinion of me is that I'm sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm holy. And I'm going to heaven. Because He paid the price. Give Him all the glory. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. Give Him the glory. That's all I got. Amen. And that's exactly what my little granddaughter said. Look! I got the crown! And all I can tell you is, now I have a queen mother and a queen grandmother that sleeps with me. But can you imagine all these queens in one family? I mean, it's pretty dramatic, you know. But you know what? I'm enjoying every step of it. Every level of it. Would you stand, please? Lift your hands to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I give You the praise. Holy Spirit, confirm this word to me. Make it alive in me. And I will be sanctifying many tomorrow. Where You bring me. I will bring out words of love, words of restoration, so that they can be sanctified, just like me. I'm sanctified, and I'm going to give it away until it starts bouncing back on me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Share some hugs with each other.